from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net podcast. My name is Jacob Fortak.
And I'm Jeffrey Jones.
As Ryan is away on vacation, I'm continuing to have Jeffrey Jones on the show.
He has me chained to a radiator. Call the police.
Shh, don't call the police, everybody. Don't call the police. It'll be fine. If you call the police, no shows. It's up to you, people.
Because huh? You're black heart.
And you'll know they'll choose the show over your petty life.
Well, they're heartless atheists. I wouldn't expect... Why did I sound like Job all of a sudden? I'm channeling Arrested Development.
I think you should have just followed through with that. Don't question it. Don't fight it, Jeffrey.
Don't fight it.
Yeah, you've been fighting
struggling with my identity. I'm actually the gay version of Job from Arrested Development.
There you go. That's what you are. Okay, today on the show, we're going to be talking about... how kids are just naughty little whores. We're going to be talking about South Park has been getting death threats. And we'll also be talking about why women are to blame for everything. But first, let's actually talk about this boys being little whores thing. not my words, actually the words of a bishop in Spain. His name is Bernardo Alvarez. And he said, and this is a quote... There are 13-year-old adolescents who are underage and who are perfectly in agreement with, and what's more, wanting it, and if you're careless, they will even provoke you. And what he's talking about here is the sex scandal. You can read between the lines, basically what Mr. Alvarez
You don't need to read between the lines.
Is that these 13-year-olds are coming on to priests, and it's all their fault.
Well, they had it coming with their friggin' Pokemon cards.
They smell like delicious bubble gum, those teases. How dare they?
Seriously.
They come in and they ask the priest questions, and they talk. They go to the confession. They say, priest, I'm touching myself because he thinks it's a sin.
Bad.
And the next thing you know, the priest is like, he's dirty talking to me. He's coming on to me.
I should start charging for this.
I'm going to get a group of my buddies, tie him down, and force my dick in his mouth. As
just like
the case
he wants.
With some of these poor kids that have
fucking
been
disgusting.
Raped by the Catholic Church. Now, you know, I don't know about you, and I was seriously 3 shows ago we were talking about this. I was saying I feel like a one-hit pony, talking constantly about the Vatican. But you know what? I can't stop, and it's not I can't stop because I have some kind of weird Tourette's like syndrome. It's just that they won't stop opening their mouths and saying horrible things.
You know what this reminds me of?
What's it?
You remember, like, at the beginning of, was it 2008, the election? Like, every day, Sarah Palin did something stupid. So, like, it would be like watching The Daily Show. They'd, like, half the show would be on how stupid Sarah Palin was being. I think the Catholic Church is the atheist Sarah Palin. Like, they just keep doing stupid
stuff. Sarah
Palin
is funny and scary. The Vatican is evil and twisted. That's what they are. You know, let's make fun of these. I would rather not make fun of them. I would rather have
Well,
a
you don't
life
have to.
Where,
I'm not saying make fun of them. I'm just saying in terms of...
Where we would have... I would rather have less material to write about. You know, the day where I could just say, hey, I quit, everybody, because this world doesn't need me anymore? I don't know what I'll do. What do you recommend I do in a world where this kind of thing is not necessary? What should I do?
I think you would start a cult because you'd be like, you start one up.
No. If I start a cult, then I would need... then a need to create a good atheist-like website would arise again... And then I would have to be speaking against myself. You're not making any sense, sir.
Well, what are you asking me to do? Like,
I'm just asking.
You're saying that basically...
I'm asking you to come up with a one thing that I could do, almost as an invitation to my mocking, sir.
Okay.
I've given you those keys, and meanwhile, you tell me that I'm going to start a cult. You're going to make me look bad.
I thought you were asking, you know, sort of that thing like, what do soldiers do when there are no more wars kind of thing.
Right.
Like, you
some
start
of them become
war.
Carpenters. I'm start a war. If I'm trying to prevent one, I'm not going to start one.
All right. See, here's the thing that the listeners don't know is that just before this podcast like started recording, we were talking about this game, and it got it in my head about like world domination and shit.
This is the problem. I talked to you about a Commodore 64 game called Captain Blood, and the next thing you know is you paint me as this cultish dictator.
You had a skeleton hand poised over a planet explodey button.
I was telling you that story. I don't know what happened in your mind when I said that.
Like, I'm a very visual person.
What the hell? Now I do feel like a cultist, like Charles Manson hypnotizing people. You know what? Actually, you know what's interesting about Charles Manson? Do you know how he got to brainwash his disciples? He gave them acid, but he didn't take any. And he would freak them out during his visions. Yeah, exactly. Never underestimate the use of drugs.
I knew this water tasted funny.
No, I did not give you acid, sir. I think you'd probably be having a lot better of a time, by the way, if I had.
Probably. Yeah. I'd probably be naked, too.
You look miserable. All right. Back to the Vatican, yes. If we can go back to it. I would love to stop talking about these guys. Mm. But what's weird is the decisions that they make when it comes to talking to the press. I mean, surely someone there out there is telling themselves, we got to do something about this. Look, here's my basic problem with this whole Ratzinger, Pope Benedict affair, all right?
Right.
And everybody was talking about, should we arrest this guy or what should we do with him? And saying, like, look, the evidence that's presented, like with the, say, Exhibit A,
yes.
The sending out of the memo when he's the head of the Doctrine of the Faith,
right?
Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, which used to be called the Inquisition, by the way. That's what that institution was called before. Anyways, so he's head of that, put there by Pope John Paul II. He issues a memo, and the memo states very clearly that if you talk, you are not to talk about these types of issues outside of the Vatican.
It stays what happens,
and there'd be
Vatican
serious penalties for that. And if you
Vatican
are
City.
To talk about it, it specifies clearly that it's to be that it's to be 10 years after the 18th birthday of the person involved. Not coincidentally, the amount of time that the statute of limitation runs out. So you could go around and you could say, oh well, he didn't really know. Hello, the language in it is clear. It points to the complacency of it. Now, Exhibit 2 is that Maciel Bernardo, or whatever the hell his name is the priest in Mexico. Now, at the time, there were a number of individuals that had come forward saying that this guy has molested kids. Like, I think they said something along the lines of 200 kids that he had fucking molested. Now, because he was a close friend of John Paul II, no action was taken. But it's quite clear that Ratzinger knew about this. Because as soon as he came into power, he forced Maciel to resign. Now, why would he do that?
Yeah.
He forced him to resign, but he didn't take any police actions, because if you recall his own memo about what you're supposed to do, is it does not go outside the church.
That's,
okay?
They should not have that degree of control.
And, I mean, Exhibit C is his shuffling around of that Father H, the ones that I don't quite remember his name now, that he knew about he had basically transferred to different parishes, and he offended again.
And again and again.
And again and again. And there are more examples. These are just three of these examples, and if you were to ask me if any other human being had been involved in such a cover-up, to cover up crimes that he knew about, what would we be doing right now? Mm-hmm. We would be arresting this person, and that's it. I mean, even if you're saying, well, Ratzinger tried to stop it, even in the case of Maciel, right? He tried to stop it by forcing him to resign. It's a crime, dude.
It doesn't matter. He's already done shit, like, you know?
But look, the problem is, I definitely think that in their mind, in the Vatican's mind, this is not a crime. This is a sin. And this is the problem, because they thrive on that shit. Anytime there is any sin committed, they actually look at this as an opportunity to be closer to God. This is the sick and twisted world of Catholicism. They cherish sin. And that's what's really fucked up about it, because there are probably individuals within the Vatican that feel really strongly and say, like, this was wrong. Their silence is deafening. All right. Do you think everybody in the Vatican's involved? Do you think everybody's cool with it? No, but they don't say shit.
No.
That is what's really messed up. The people who weren't involved in the cover are not doing anything. And even if... Let's pretend that this Bernardo Alvarez guy... Let's pretend for just a second that he's not involved in it. He didn't know anything about it. Where does he come off saying that shit? What is he talking about? What is wrong with him when he's saying, oh, it's the kids that are seducing the priests?
I just wish that I wish that they could take some fucking responsibility. Honestly, it's like, what was it? Fucking like 2 weeks ago, it was us queers that were fucking the problem, and now it's the kids that were doing it. Like, isn't, like, do they not does it not compute in their head that this just doesn't, like, how can they say it with a straight face? How, and okay, I'll give them the gay one. Okay, whatever. You can, you don't like us, it's cool. Well, it's not cool, but whatever. But but saying cool. But saying that, literally, like, blaming the victims on this, and it's the, when the victims are kids, where would that shit fly? Why do they get, like, why isn't this guy fucking forced to resign right now for saying that? Like, that's just ridiculous. It's a like, you want him representing you?
What's weird about the situation, too, is that the Catholic Church is stuck in a weird situation where they can't really admit to the crimes, because to do so would open up litigation, and this is one of the things that they were trying desperately to stop. I mean, the Vatican's coffers are huge. I think the latest estimate that I heard was about $50 billion, just cash, that they have floating around. But they love money. Don't think it's anything otherwise. Yeah. Have you seen their gigantic one-man castle? Okay, it's expensive to maintain these things, to have your
own castle,
your own gigantic castle with gold in it, and ridiculous.
I like the way you're ridiculous. Saying that. With gold in it.
It's got gold and crazy expensive marbles and
statues, and
I mean, just, I don't even know what the actual value, if like you were to just one day be like, you're a real estate agent and you have to put a price on the Vatican.
How much
for
would
sale.
This go for?
What the hell? How much are you supposed to pay for what is essentially a gigantic work of art? Like, let's not fuck around here. The Vatican is a gigantic work of art.
Yeah.
It's one of the few structures in Europe that's not been completely destroyed.
I shouldn't laugh at that.
Right.
But I do.
But it is, it's absolutely gorgeous. And it has to be. The thing that people don't understand, too, is that a lot of it's a technically impressive building, because they have to keep the temperature of the Vatican very, very at a very stable
For all the temperature. Right.
Yeah, a very stable temperature for all the works of art, even for the roof of the Sistine Chapel. If that stopped working, let's pretend they didn't pay whatever electric bill to whatever however it runs. I think it's actually gas or something like that. But if they stop. In a few years, the roof itself would just peel off, like peel right off. So,
wow.
Hey, it's expensive. That's just maintaining a stupid fucking, well, it's not stupid, a painting on the roof.
Yeah,
a painting on the roof to hide, by the way, the imperfections. The real beauty of the Sistine Chapel is the fact that it's an optical illusion. You come up close and you would see sort of like he has to paint over lots of the, you know, the
like actual
imperfections there.
Oh, so
to
it's not a flat surface.
No,
really, I have to see this. Well, not.
It's not a perfect surface, so that's one of the reasons why they wanted to paint it. I mean, you have to remember that at the time that it's Vatican's built. I mean, you know, it's not like today where we can just get a machine to just pump it all out.
Yeah.
And we don't really have a problem making large structures, but that requires a lot of really complicated, you know, maths and technical engineering that hasn't always been available. Or if it was available, you know, you're making do.
A different time anyway, like whatever.
Yeah, it's a different time. Yeah. It's a fucking living museum. That's what it is. It's a living museum. So I don't know what the price tag of that. But back to the point that I was trying to make is that they're worried about possible litigation, and that's probably the next phase of what's going to happen in the next little while is people are going to start suing the pants off these guys. And
that's
going to
be nice.
Or suing the robes off of them because they don't have pants.
But why would they need them?
They wear giant dresses. Mm. Going around calling other people
sinners and abominations. Yeah.
These cross-dressing weirdos.
No offense to anyone who may actually be a cross-dresser.
Right. No, but they are. Everybody's a weirdo, isn't it? Aren't they? Yeah.
Well, if everybody's a weirdo, then no one is. And I refuse to think that the Vatican's not full of weirdos. So
okay, fine.
No. For the sake of making the Vatican weird,
good point.
We'll accept that there are weirdos.
I like that. And you know what? We're going to move on because I'm sure that there's going to be other times we're going to be talking about the Vatican. But I just want to put it out there that they're stuck in a weird situation where they can't admit to it because it would just cost them too much.
I think it's going to catch up with them, though. I think we're beginning to see that, you know, they're finally pulling at the, we're like society or like a secular world is finally like pulling at the threads of the Catholic Church, and it's sort of coming apart. Fingers crossed. I hope the Vatican falls within my lifetime.
I agree. Okay, let's talk about the next subject, which is South Park. And it's always nice when I can mention South Park on the show.
South Park is awesome.
Yeah. South Park is... It's on a to-watch list for anybody that loves to rag on, you know, current issues, celebrities, all this other kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I always find that South Park is able to hit things on the nail without sounding preachy.
Yep.
And that's kind of what I like about them, because they don't really take a stand. And then whenever somebody accuses them of taking a stand, they make fun of them, too. They're just like, we're making fun of everybody.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about South Park.
Nobody's
because,
safe, and it's good.
Yeah. I don't think that any in a show like that, nobody should be safe. They're not trying to push an agenda, I feel. They're just trying to make fun of everybody. And I have a great deal of respect for that. Now, who doesn't have a great deal of respect for that, unsurprisingly...
Yeah, notice the complete lack of gasps.
...is essentially the Muslim world that seems to have a huge issue whenever the Prophet Muhammad is drawn. For whatever reason. Not even anything necessarily blasphemous, just for them the blasphemy is the picture. They're like, you cannot reproduce him, not our prophet. Now, if you recall back in season 5 of South Park, they actually did draw Muhammad.
Really?
And he is in the episode of the Super... or
what was it? The Super Friends?
Religious Friends?
Super
I forget
Friends
what the hell
or whatever.
Does not matter. Don't
Yeah. He was in a group with, like, Buddha and... Jesus
right, he had
and...
flame powers.
I like
that
it.
Was his whole thing.
All
right. So they already showed him, but because of the new policy... They're making fun in their 200th episode of the fact that they can't. So they decide to do a gigantic mashup show.
Yeah.
And one of the central focus of it is how Muhammad can't be shown and how they're basically playing with that idea. I mean, at the end of the cliffhanger of part one, they have him in a gigantic bear suit.
It's funny. I love during the super awesome friends or whatever theme, he's a big censored bar.
Yeah, that's... That was cool, too, because that was literally taken from that season. And you can also tell, because back then there was just the technology that they used to make the
South
show.
Not that South Park really is advanced
that
much.
Well, they're purposefully crappy.
Yeah. It looks more like Flash and less like construction paper.
And we don't really care anymore, do we? We really
don't You don't
care.
Watch that for artistic, visual artism. Artism? That's not a word.
Artistry?
Artistry. Yeah, whatever. You're not watching it for the pictures.
So anyways, the show unsurprisingly causes a controversy, and there's basically a site called Radical Muslims. Now, revolutionmuslim.com, excuse me. Now, they claim that they are not inciting violence, but they do give the address... Of
they
Trey
give
Parker
them
and Matt Stone.
The actual mailing address, like the living address.
What they do is they actually have a link to I think it's a Huffington Post article that tells that about their green home, because apparently they have like a super like a $3-5 million environmentally safe home and that kind of stuff. I mean,
they're hippies. Curse them.
They're conservative hippies. And also to sort of like go to Comedy Central to quote unquote voice your displeasure. Now below, I actually think that the link that I provided is dead because they were probably swarmed.
Yeah, I'm at revolutionmuslim.com and it's like the
crashed.
Fucking site is dead.
The site's down.
Yep.
But below this whole thing is saying like, I'll read you the quote. We have to warn Matt and Trey that what they're doing is stupid and they will probably wind up like Theo Van Gogh for airing this show.
And he was the Swedish cartoonist, right?
No, he wasn't a cartoonist. He was a filmmaker.
Oh, the filmmaker. Okay, that one. Because I remember this. The filmmaker who was like killed in his like driveway. That guy?
That's him.
Okay.
This is not a threat, but a warning of the reality of what will likely happen to them. Below this non-threat is two videos, or they were actually podcasts, but in YouTube format, of mullahs saying that blasphemers should be killed. So it's like one of those fill in your own blanks. Be like, we're not inciting violence. We're just telling other people that through proxy that blasphemers should be killed, and that we're just trying to friendly warn them. I'm like, well, it's already done. What are you warning them about now?
This is like fucking Godfather warning kind of thing. I'm just gonna pay him a little visit. That's all. He won't bug you no more.
Now you know
anymore.
What?
I do the worst Italian mob.
You did. You're awful. You're fired.
I'm fired.
Get out of here.
It's been a good run, guys.
Catch everybody next week, everybody. And I'll be casting for
auditions.
I'll be doing auditions.
I want to see that montage. Anyways, yeah, so getting back to South Park.
Well, you were in the middle of saying something. Oh, you were done? Okay.
I completely forgot what I was saying. You fired me, dude.
You're right.
Oh no, I was just equating it to this whole friendly warning is the same kind of warning as a fucking like mail bomb.
Exactly, and I have to respect Matt Stone and Trey Parker, the creators of South Park, for their brass cojones, because really the reason why these guys are the center of a new controversy now is just because they're the only ones doing it.
Yeah.
Everybody else is too chicken shit. I mean, even to some degree, I would describe myself as somewhat chicken shit.
Me too. I was thinking I want to call out, I keep wanting to call him Mufasa. It's so funny.
Well, I mean, there are tons of really offensive shit that I would love to do. But yeah. I'm also aware that for business purposes, I have to indicate what my address is and all this other kind of stuff.
Yeah, like people
and these
can
motherfuckers
find you.
Are insane, yeah. All right? And it's not all of them. It's just that there's so many moderate Muslims that support the core fundamentalist groups, and they can't do anything about them. They don't do anything about them. And these fundamentalists, they would seem to you and me like normal people. They just believe in some tremendously dangerous ideas, such as we need to kill those that offend our religion.
Yeah. I have to wonder, though, and I was actually thinking about this in preparation for the podcast. Are there any Muslim groups that when this kind of shit comes out, sure, they say this isn't what's in our religious text, blah, 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 but are there any Muslim groups that actually say, you guys are crazy?
Oh, I don't doubt that.
I'd like to find them. Like, I'm not saying that they don't exist. I'm just saying it would be nice to see how a, like, through the Muslim perspective.
But look, I will be honest
shit.
And say that definitely when, say, a news organization does a story about this,
yeah,
they probably don't go and ask some of the less...
Well, of course not.
Crazy
That's not
groups,
news.
What they think.
Yeah.
Once in a while, they will. I have seen them do that. A lot of times, they don't. Mm-hmm. And that may be part of the perception. I'm not going to deny that. But yeah. It doesn't matter. The problem is really what they purport to believe and what environment that creates. And I'm like, I'm sorry, guys. It really causes fundamentalism in a significant portion of the believers.
Crazy dangerous.
And they are very dangerous. Yeah, yeah. These beliefs are volatile, and they are no longer compatible with our modern world.
This sort of harkens back to Sam Harris's book, The End of Faith.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, there's no better way to put it. Sam Harris says it best in The End of Faith. If you don't know, if you're not familiar with this argument, go fucking read that book.
It's a good book.
It's a good book. Okay, let's move on to the last topic, which I just think is the... I mean, another dumb things that religious people say. It's a twofer this time, actually. First, we got Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, Rush Limbaugh.
Who basically says that the volcanic activity in Iceland is the result of healthcare reform. And we have a religious cleric in Iran blaming the earthquakes on women dressing improperly.
Sexfully.
With sexy skin-tight coats.
Coats?
Coats.
Wow. Shit.
Skin-tight coats.
You can almost make out her neck.
Look, there's a curve. Oh, my God.
I'm so repressed and aroused. Right.
Now, okay, in the case, what was funny is when I put up the Rush Limbaugh article on the site, one person was like, oh, you don't get it. Rush Limbaugh is just joking. Because Obama had said that with the healthcare reform going through, that the earth hadn't opened up and swallowed everyone whole. And Rush Limbaugh is saying, like, this is the example of it. And you could say, like, oh, it's a joke. You know, it kind of reminds me of the time that Rush Limbaugh was joking about retards and calling people retards. And everyone was like, oh, and Sarah Palin was confronted with this. And she said, well, he's using it in a satirical way. But other people, well, you know, they can't use the word. But Rush Limbaugh
can. I don't think Rush Limbaugh is capable of satire.
Rush Limbaugh caters to a particular crowd.
Yeah.
Do I think that Rush Limbaugh believes literally that the earth opened up and had volcanic activity because of healthcare reform? No, I don't. He's not an idiot. He's just a big bag of hot air. No, look.
I know.
Rush Limbaugh credit, dude. To underestimate him is a mistake.
No, I'm making a joke at it. Actually, it's really quite funny. Back in the day, and I'm talking, this is how I measure time. Back in the day when Transformers Generation 2 was
good
on TV.
Good God. No, you're using this as a way to date
things? I don't
things?
Know how many years ago that was.
Why don't you do a little bit of research? Like, you could say the day that, I don't know, the Challenger exploded. No, for you, it's fucking Transformers Series 2.
Generation 2.
Whatever, dude.
Well, Series 2 is like the Cybertron stuff, post-movie. Anyways, point I'm getting at...
You make me want to just cry.
No, it's just it's actually... The point I was getting at is right before school, Rush Limbaugh was on TV. So my brother was a big Rush Limbaugh fan.
Why?
I don't know, but I ended up watching a lot of Rush Limbaugh. Like, he had this TV show...
So what was the TV show about?
It was just him. I guess it was political pundancy or whatever, but at the time it went way over my head, right?
Right.
But, like, I just remember, like, we watched a lot of Rush Limbaugh. I think, actually, in the yearbook that my brother graduated, it's his role model. It's either Rush Limbaugh or Jerry the King Lawler. Wow, that's way too much. That's an overshare.
Yes, congratulations on letting everybody know what your brother is like. A very strange amalgam. I wonder if he would say the same thing about Rush Limbaugh now. But no. What I want to do is I just want to respond to sort of like the criticism somebody, a bunch of people were saying, oh, you know, it's a joke and you shouldn't take it seriously. And I'm like, look, when you say it and the people that listen to you actually do take it seriously, and you could say that nobody really does, but considering the fact that almost half of the population of the United States believe that the rapture is going to happen within their lifetime, you start really asking the question, do people really believe that? And the answer is yes.
Well, that's it. Some people are a little, like, some people are more gullible.
Not just some, many.
How many people... Just in terms of, like, the whole creation evolution thing, what is it, like, 2/3 of Americans believe it's creationism?
Well, the last time was like 1/3 believe that it's not true, another 1/3 weren't sure.
Okay.
And then the last 1/3 were sure.
That okay.
So you have to put it basically 2/3 are either sure or unsure.
Yeah.
About evolution being
right.
True.
So even at 1/3 of all Americans, you know, thinking, being that naive, and then you've got this guy who's sort of a representative of conservative media, like, pretty much doesn't get much more conservative media pundit than him and, like, Glenn Beck and that other guy, O'Reilly.
Yeah, Bill O'Reilly.
But it's all the same kind of thing. Like, they'll say stuff, and I agree with you that, one, Rush Limbaugh, yeah, he's not an idiot. I was being sarcastic. But the other thing is, yeah, he might not believe it, but there is someone who there are people out there who will.
Well, look at the just the perfect example is this cleric in Iran who says that basically earthquakes are being caused by women who wear revealing clothing. So I ask you, is this satire?
No.
But the Rush Limbaugh thing, that is satire. No one in the United States seriously believes that natural disasters are caused by sinning. Oh, wait, let's go back.
Katrina?
Let's remember what Pat Robertson said about Haiti. And that basically the earthquake was caused because Haiti had made a deal with the devil.
Who was it that made the... And another one made a thing about 9/11 and gay marriage. And there was another one that was Hurricane
Katrina.
I believe this was
Pat Robertson or... I'm not quite sure.
There's Pat Robertson. Was he the one that recently died?
He's not dead, no. Okay. You're thinking Jerry Falwell.
Yeah, I think it was Jerry Falwell.
You might be right about
one.
That,
yeah.
Actually. I think he's the one that was saying that about Katrina. Yeah. I don't know. It's really hard to keep track of all this hate.
It is.
I really don't have... You know, I know this is my full-time job, but it's still... There is more than you might imagine, and I can't keep track of all this hate, all right?
That's ridiculous.
I just can't. Don't ask me to. I don't want to.
Says the professional blogger.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to.
Enough.
You can just look at the archives of the site. It's all there. I don't.
It kind of repeats.
Do I have to pull everything out of my brain? I don't think that's fair.
All right.
I am not a filing cabinet of nothing but atheist facts. I have a life outside of this. At least I'd like to think I do. Do I? Maybe I don't.
It's like, I'm like, how to phrase
actually,
this?
That's a pretty good question. Do I? No.
Yeah.
No. Actually, my life is the other... project.
Yeah, it's Fightlinker. There you go.
There you go.
Wow.
That's my other life. So.
Your boyfriend and boyfriend.
Very funny. I like how in Iran, they can seriously... Well, I mean, just like America, I guess, with this whole healthcare reform thing. But, I mean, definitely, you kind of have to... chuckle, otherwise you're going to cry at the fact that anyone could seriously blame earthquakes. And here's the funny thing. Iran, or their capital, Tehran, is sitting on like a massive fault line. Just massive one. Like, it's waiting to erupt. It is probably like a few years overdue. And it's going to happen, people. It's going to fucking happen.
Yeah. And that's going to be bad news.
Well, it's going to be bad news for women, dude, when it happens. I mean, I can only imagine that in a country like that, when a natural disaster is, because they're inevitable, people.
Yeah.
You're living on a cooling ball of iron. Once in a while, shit's going to happen. Fire is going to spew out of nowhere. Even the atmosphere is going to just try to blow away your home. Fucking tsunamis and all kinds of natural horrors.
We managed to... The Earth isn't a friendly place. We've just subdued it for the most part. But every once in a while, it lashes out.
I mean, think about this. We are just coming out of an ice age. Okay, we were around during the ice age. And we were small bands of useless idiots. Not until the Ice Age is over can we actually do anything interesting. Now, I ask you, Ice Age, maybe they come and go all the time. We were in just a relatively temperate time in Earth's history, but usually these Ice Ages, they happen like clockwork, man. Clockwork. We're just in very temperate. Period. It's not going to remain that way forever, okay, guys? I don't want to just scare anybody out there. If there are kids listening to me like, oh my God, the Earth's going to end tomorrow. No, but... things change. Natural disasters happen.
That's why they're natural. Yeah. They were unnatural disasters.
But a natural disaster happens where a country is really, really religious. And you know it's just going to end badly.
Someone's getting blamed.
People are going to get blamed.
They're not going to blame the fucking tectonic plates. That's
the leash gets tightened. Yeah. Because now everyone's like, oh no, we were doing something wrong. And it's the time where religious conservatives fuck faces take to just basically go like, let's implement these new
people are afraid. Rules. Let's find a way to sort of herd these people into believing a certain thing.
It kind of reminds me of Naomi Klein's idea of the shock doctrine, where anytime there's a disaster... well, what she believes is that sort of neocons and other individuals that are interested in pretty much furthering their own wealth use natural disasters to their advantage to come on in and basically start privatizing things and selling them and so on and so forth. But I think that there's a kind of shock doctrine on the religious side. So when times are really hard or natural disasters strike, they're like, yep, that's when we're going to... now's the time. It's just like, you know... how many people get, a knock at the door when they lose a relative saying like, hey, would you like to join our church and know that your loved ones are waiting in heaven? Mm-hmm. Shock doctrine. You are in shock. Come with us now.
We make better.
We will make you feel better.
Yeah.
So this is what worries me about it, because in Iran, it's waiting to happen. So imagine a future where all of a sudden there is a bit of a revolution there. The younger generation starts to try to assert itself, so on and so forth. But in the middle of this, an earthquake happens.
Say goodbye to your revolution.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's a fragile situation when you consider, I think Tehran is there's like 11 million people that live there or something insane. Like, there's a lot. It's it's a really big city on a gigantic fault line. Like, you're asking for trouble. You are asking for trouble. I don't even know what their disaster response would be concerning them. I mean, Tehran's a fairly modern city by, developing world standards.
Right. Well, I'm sure there's some preparation.
I really don't think so. I mean,
really?
I really think it's just, it's the same old buildings that are going to crumble like they did in China, just killing more people than should have been killed because of shoddy workmanship. Shoddy workmanship.
Let that be a lesson to you.
So I hope nothing like that happens in the foreseeable future, because I definitely see, again, the way that religious people use natural disasters, just as a ploy to get people to believe in their ridiculous bullshit is frustrating.
But that's pretty much all religions, though. I don't think Islam has the...
Rush Limbaugh says,
there you go.
That Iceland's eruption caused by healthcare reform, and I'm sure lots of really religious idiots believe him. They're like, oh, yes, God's angry because 40 million people now have access to healthcare. He would be very mad.
The sentence makes no sense to me.
I also hate the way that these religious folks who call us atheist, arrogant for what we believe. Go ahead and be like, go ahead and say God believes exactly what I do.
Well, I think Christopher Hitchens was the one who said it best. It was basically like, here's your arrogance. It's like, not only, you know, does God like shape the world, but he shapes it to the way I see it.
Exactly.
You know, like,
yeah.
God works for me.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. And there's no...
Like, that's the fucking height of egotism right there.
Oh, unbelievable.
Like, God works for me, and yeah.
All right, well, you know what? I think that we'll wrap up the show.
There we go.
I'd like to remind everybody, if you love the podcast, we have a bonus one that's almost number 50, I think.
I think you posted 50. Yes, last one was 50.
No, I think this is 49, the last
was
one
it?
I posted. So it's about
well,
to reach 50.
There. It's, getting
it's getting there.
Are
so,
you going to have a... not a bicentennial.
No,
what's
I'm
it?
Not.
It's a semi-centennial.
No. I'll celebrate number 100, but 50 is just 50. And if you become a member, if you're not a member yet, and you become a member, you gain access to all of those shows. So it probably represent about one entire day's worth of podcasting. Probably 24 hours.
I think more than that. The average podcast is about 40 minutes.
Okay, I would say probably 30 hours.
Yeah.
So good 30 hours that you can have access to immediately, mm-hmm. and that's for $20 a year for membership. And plus you get for the next year bonus podcasts.
And just because I'm going to become a salesman here.
Please.
If you're worried that the older podcasts aren't going to be relevant, keep in mind religion never changes.
really
so the arguments from last year still work.
Yeah, you can and you'll be able to forget about the podcast, and you can probably go back and listen to some of the old ones.
I do that from time to time when I'm drawing. I'll play the old ones and I'll be
oh
like,
yeah.
Well, I play the ones with Ryan. I don't like listening to me do them because I'm like,
see, I have that problem with all the shows.
I'm like, I'm the substitute teacher of the good atheist. I come in. I'm not the expert. I'm not the expert on anything.
Well, how Ryan's not an expert on anything either.
No, but I think he passes it off better. He wouldn't bring up Transformers Generation 2 in an atheist debate.
No, see, that doesn't show expertise. You just embarrass yourself with your weird references. Your historical references are the saddest I've ever heard. They're pop culture references for cartoons.
Dude, my job history, I was filling out a resume. You know how I figured out when I was working?
No.
I remembered the first video game I bought when I started the job and looked up the release date. It's like, when I moved to Montreal, Luna 2 came out on the PlayStation.
The man loves his video games.
I am a nerd.
You're a nerd. You are a nerd. Okay, with that, we'll catch everybody on Thursday or Friday, depending on when I can get a hold of Ryan for the bonus podcasts. I'd like to thank my special guest, Jeffrey Jones, who will probably be back next week.
That's true. I'll work on my universal greeting. I actually know it.
All right. And with that, my name is Jacob Forche.
And I'm Jeffrey Jones.
Have a good Atheist Day, everybody.
Cheers.